You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Hilary Plum. Hilary, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thanks for having me.
Hilary, I know you've had a lot of activities over the years, and I imagine we'll talk about Strawberry Fields perhaps, but what are you working on at the moment?
I guess a lot of my work has ended up being about kind of experiences of reading and the ethics of reading, and I guess I've just been doing some more projects that extend from that in new ways. I've been writing a long essay about reading multiple translations, in particular of the long poem Mural by the Palestinian poet Mahmoud Darwish. There's three really beautiful translations in English, and I've been thinking about, you know, what it is to have that multiplicity and to be the sort of reader of a translation who can't read the original, in that kind of inexpert position. And then I've been writing some fiction that maybe is also about, I guess also is about forms of inexpertise. Like it includes some attempts to like think critically about contemporary fiction, but in a novel rather than in critical writing, and then includes some like thinking about visual art, which is not something I'm particularly qualified or experienced in doing, but it's exciting to try. So, yeah.
And so there's of course the essay and translation, and then is there a fiction that you're working on now that talks about forms of inexpertise, but is it also about thinking about visual art? What the fiction you're working on?
Yeah, that fiction. Yeah. Yeah, that's a novel. We'll see how it goes. You know, it has a lot of, I started it with the idea that I would like put all of my thoughts about contemporary literature in one place, and they could be in this novel, and then I'd know where they all were. And then I also started bringing in some like thoughts on viewing visual art, which again is something that's like, maybe because as we sort of go on in life, and I've worked as an editor now for 15 years, it's about my 15-year anniversary of sort of joining that profession, you know, you get more and more, you get to be more and more of an expert. So to be a beginner in something, or to have it be still still mysterious and still like every encounter is kind of like you're lacking the language for it, or you don't quite know what to say about it. I mean, that's how I feel when I try to write about visual art, or even when I wander around in it. So I wanted to try to be in that or have a novel that did that, and I don't know, hopefully make out of that experience something that's also worthwhile for readers. So we'll see.
Well, that's interesting. Let's talk about visual art a little bit, because, of course, in this series, I interview a lot of visual artists, right? It's predominantly mm-hmm. visual artists. But, you know, my feeling about poetry, perhaps, is almost like the way you're talking about visual art. Initially, when I, you know, and I feel like I know a lot about visual art, I'm very confident in it. I can talk to anybody, no matter how odd their work is, even if it doesn't have objects, I can talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Poets, I always feel intimidated by, or I used to. I used to think, you know, oh my God, you know, they're going to read a poem, and what do I say? Maybe I'll say the wrong thing. Maybe I'll be undermining what they're doing by being overly simplistic or something. And I feel better about that now, more confident as an interviewer. But it's partly because there's this idea in visual art where artists hope that their work is poetic mm-hmm. or beautiful, or at least many do. But of course, they can't say it is poetic. I've made poetic work. That seems presumptuous and like something you can't say as a visual artist. So you know, there's this, you know, this kind of interesting relationship between poetry and writing and visual art, and I always think visual artists, you know, there's something they admire enormously about writers, and perhaps there's something the other way around. So And I've certainly read plenty of writing about that talk about that. I don't know. Recently, I was reading Clarice Lispector, and she was also a painter too, but writes a lot about visual art. So, when you're writing about visual art, because you sound a little bit tentative about whether your observations are somehow worth sharing, as someone who is a visual artist and thinks about those kind of things, I think no matter what anybody's observations are, pretty much they're worth sharing, because as artists, we want to know what are people thinking? What are they feeling? What do they think is going on? And there isn't a wrong answer, really. So, So how do you feel? So when you talk about what you're writing now and you've written, more than one novel before, what is your approach to visual art, and why do you think it's sort of, if I'm not reading between the lines too much, kind of, you don't seem as confident about that as when you're approaching other types of material?
Yeah, I guess it's like, it's fun to think about. I haven't quite like talked about it even to myself, maybe. And I guess in both of my two novels that I've published, they are about kind of, I mentioned sort of experiences of reading, and maybe they're about the kind of limitations of reading, or what reading can get at, this like, attempt to sort of access experience or, to come up against the limits of journalism or of sort of like quote news from elsewhere, things like that. So it makes sense to me to then find a project that was maybe about another type of experience, such as like encountering artwork that I didn't really know how to do, to make the subject of your work kind of like a problem that you're having. And I'm trying to think about where it would have started. In one place might be the writer Atel Adnan, a Lebanese-American writer who's in her 90s now, and who is a really amazing poet. And for most of her career, that's how she was known. And then more recently, her visual art has become kind of, which she's been a painter her entire, life, but it sort of took off in the past 10 years, and now is receiving a great deal of kind of international attention and acclaim. And so maybe, like, I started reading her work and then got very, like, preoccupied with her landscapes, and it was nice to kind of feel a little obsessed with something without being able to say much about it other than, oh, I love them, but I'm also thinking about, some of these, something my husband is a poet, Zach Savage, and he will often talk about, or sometimes when he's talking to students or he's talking, giving a talk about poetry, he'll ask a sort of question about what literature can be a cause of. So thinking of literature as a cause rather than an effect. And sometimes, I think about that more and more, especially if I'm, teaching or maybe in types of conversations or settings where people might be intimidated by, some things that are happening in literature or by poetry or literature that seems difficult in some way, and how to kind of start to talk and think about the site of meaning in literature as occurring between, the text and the reader, not between the writer and the text, so that's like the live site, and that's a place anyone can enter, and that's what it's for, it's meant to be a cause of something. And so, as I've been kind of turning that idea over in various forms through the years, you end up maybe with some analogies to the visual, or it happens through visual metaphors when you think about how works of literature kind of position a reader, or where they put the reader, or what sort of situation the reader is in when reading them. And I found myself kind of, thinking that's a structure you can represent visually a lot of the time, and maybe that led me into some thoughts about being a viewer of art, or thinking about trying then to learn where are you at when you look at a work of art.
Sure. So let's talk a little bit about that, if we can, if that relates to the current manuscript that you're working on, in terms of where the viewer is at when they're looking at art. There was a friend of mine who is a journalist and great writer, graduated from the Columbia School of Journalism. And I remember she said to me once after going to MoMA, she said, sometimes I feel like, you know, either she said this or she was quoting somebody who said this. She said, I sometimes feel like this art is just here to make people like me feel stupid. And, you know, that was kind of, she's this really bright woman, and that kind of, that hurt me. You know, I thought, gosh, you know, that's not what it's supposed to be. It's kind of supposed to be the opposite, but I also understand that. I understand that she feels like it's so alien to her what she's seeing in there, and she's trying to be open to it, and at the same time feels like, what are all these artists being kind of cheeky, and they're withholding just enough information so that I don't get it, I can't enter into this. So how do you enter into art if you see that? And if that is appropriate to kind of what you're working on now, you can pivot to kind of what might be a more appropriate question for what you're working on now. But I'm curious how you would enter into something like that visually without just saying, yeah, this is lovely, as you were saying, or this is beautiful. How do you enter into a work that's, I don't know, perhaps mystifying as to why it's even made and what it is?
It's a great question. I feel like I don't have an answer at hand, which is nice. And I think one thing that's exciting for writers or people who spend a lot of time in, you know, literariness is that art is viewed in a shared space most of the time, you know. So just the kind of space of the gallery, and that feels more, a little bit more collective than the solitude of engaging with a book, right? That already feels exciting, you know, even though, you know, of course, like engaging with a book isn't a solitary activity. As you do that, you are kind of talking back to its writer and to other readers, and all the work of kind of editing and publishing is very much collective, but you're mostly doing it kind of on your own, you know, so right. There's something about viewing art when you're, you know, you're among people, and, you know, sometimes that's what makes it seem very, like, absurd or, like, too heightened or, you know, like, forced in some way, depending on what kind of space you're in and how it feels. But that space already seems like something to think about. And I, as you were asking the question, I was thinking about maybe a sort of inverse of the question or approach to it that's through the negative in some way, which is that I, in my novel, my most recent novel, Strawberry Fields, is really about journalism and maybe kind of about the American reader of journalism, kind of situating that reader in a global context. So it sort of ties in with some of the things I was, you know, just trying to articulate about, like, how is the reader positioned? And what I was preoccupied with as I started that novel was the kind of just the disorientation of reading the newspaper, like how you, you know, read these pieces of, you know, kind of flotsam of news that are right next to each other, even though they're jumping you among, you know, wildly different subjects and places, and you're sort of moving rapidly around the world and around all different, you know, types of news, and there's these, you know, paragraphs of sort of context that appear as though those would orient you, you know, like that they'd be enough to kind of like summarize a recent history or who someone was or what all is going on, even though, of course, they have to do that very quickly and superficially. So it's, you know, I got sort of like interested in the kind of feeling of knowledge that gives you, which seemed as though it worked, it functioned as knowledge, but maybe it was also not to be trusted as knowledge. And so the book became a way to kind of look at that and look at that disorientation and look at how that knowledge making worked and didn't work and what sort of exceeded it or happened beyond it or what you could kind of glimpse around, kind of either glimpse beyond a newspaper story or sort of like what are the types of like moments or experiences that can't make it in, you know, that can't fit in that form. So to bring that back to your actual question, I think then, you know, that kind of unknowing or like poking at the process of knowledge making, then maybe as part of this like interest in looking at something that I don't have any, you know, being like a reading a newspaper is being like a lay reader. You know, you're sometimes you read a story about something you know a ton about, but most of the time it isn't, or you have to like really, you know, work and try to keep up and you know, be educated about X or Y. So looking at art as a way to be a real like lay reader, and see what, you know, sort of just enthusiasm might lead one to,
It also takes a certain amount of bravery then too. I mean, you know, to be a I like that idea of a kind of lay reader, a lay viewer, because I suppose that's largely who we all are when working with a medium or you know, work outside of what we know. I mean, writing seems like it's written though to reach the reader, whereas mm-hmm. visual art, I mean, just to play the advocate a little bit here, devil's advocate, it seems like it's almost the opposite, right? I'm guilty of this too. The kind of art I've made is often like that. So it seems that the kind of lay viewer of art has an even bigger challenge, and the lay writer of art, perhaps doubly so. I don't want to make your job too hard, but I mean, what you're doing is what I'm saying. It's challenging, right? That's not something that's a language you're familiar with, and even critics, you know, artists feel it. Critics often don't get it right. At the same time, I would like to think that, you know, everybody has a right to whatever their experience is as a lay viewer, I would think. So in the writing you're doing now, is it part of the fiction? Is a character looking at art, or is it because I always think it's also interesting how novelists can kind of make up art and you know, develop a show, develop an artist, talk about the arts on the wall. And in fact, I see it as the novelist is becoming a visual artist because they're making art and they're walking someone through an exhibit that doesn't exist yet. So I don't know which direction you moved into it, but I'm kind of curious about how you're approaching it.
It is nice. I don't know why it always feels like one particular magic of fiction or literature in generally is that you get to make up, you know, you get to make up other works of literature, art, or culture. You know, in itself, you know, that no one else can access. You know, so I think in this particular project, I'm trying to think, like, most of the works that are described are real ones, or they're kind of based on real ones. But it's true that, of course, you're just offering like an angle into something, so that angle is pretty much entirely yours. So you know, I don't even know, like, you know, I was thinking about that. You know, should I even cite to the real artwork, or would that almost be worse because it's gotten so extrapolated into something else, into someone having a kind of moment, or whatever kind of experience that arises out of like a reimagining, you know, I don't know, what layers of sort of like subjectivity are involved there. Yeah.
And it's interesting to talk about this. I feel like we could talk about this for a long time because it's a fascinating and difficult subject. In your last novel, which I just feel like we should touch on before we go, Strawberry Fields, I know it was at least a winner of a Fence Modern Prize in prose. So congratulations for that.
Oh, thank you.
How has the reception of that novel been? It seems like it had a great reception. You've won awards before, of course, but does that one, of course, it's new, so it must feel very special to you or recent, but how did you feel in terms of how that was received?
I think it's, you know, in these thoughts about kind of engagement and difficulty, you know, I feel really grateful that it's a book at all, and I feel very grateful for, you know, some of the reviews and critical responses it has received, which have been very, I felt very, like, substantive and kind of, so they were meaningful to me, but they also just seemed like they got to be essays on the subjects that they were about. You know, the book becomes sort of an occasion for someone to gather their thoughts on these subjects. You know, it's a book that's pretty, I think it's pretty difficult in a lot of ways. And so, you know, I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but every time someone reads it, I'm like, oh, wow. You know, like, I sort of can't imagine doing it. You know, I find it hard to sort of, you know, every time I think about, like, what is it to read a novel, you're like, it really takes a lot. You know, they really, like, remove you from your everyday life, and you have to, like, stay in them, and they're kind of an intense form and don't seem that compatible with, like, the rhythms of our contemporary life. So, you know, I guess I just feel it was a novel that took a long time to get published, and it has always seemed sort of like difficult in particular. So I feel very like gratified that someone was interested to bring it out and that it's found some people.
Well, that is exciting. That is always gratifying because, I mean, to talk a little bit about the novel, what seems to me unusual about it is that it doesn't have a kind of one direct thesis that's being put forward, right? There's a number of ideas, and so that the viewer is left to kind of put together the puzzle of who we are and what we're doing. And perhaps some of the greatest books are like that. I certainly think some of the best films are like that, you know, that tend to leave something open for the viewer to decide, you know, what's really going on here. I mean, I think of the film Do the Right Thing by Spike Lee, this kind of leaving different viewers with different opinions about what was going on and what happened and why did it have to happen. Do you see Strawberry Fields a little bit like that as well, or am I reaching a little bit there?
No, I mean, I think that's a very nice way to describe it. So thank you. It does sort of deliberately not gather itself up. And I was focused on that when I was writing it. I wanted to write a novel that had a pretty non-developmental plot, you know, that didn't, that kept fraying outwards instead of gathering itself back together. And, you know, it has something like a murder mystery, but the murder mystery kind of keeps opening further outward and into new strands. So, you know, I think that makes it, in those questions of kind of knowing and not knowing, that makes it, you know, maddening or a little bit frightening, you know, to publish or sort of be a writer in a relationship to, because I don't always feel like I know, you know, this question of what its argument is. Like my own ideas about that change and my kind of reading of it changes because it, you know, is engaging with ideas without having a direct central thesis. Which, you know, is something one can do as a literary writer, but, you know,
Well, that's something that visual artists can do too, as kind of started this out with, in sometimes a way that's more frustrating than others, right? You can in your book, it seems like it all came together, which is kind of why I asked also about the reception of that. Whereas with visual art, not to keep making comparisons, but sometimes the same goals are attempted, but it doesn't come together. I mean, I'm sure with other novels too, but it seems that it came together remarkably well, and it sounds like by the reception you've had, other people felt the same. It succeeded on those very difficult terms.
Well, I hope so. Thank you.
You're welcome. I want to ask you one more question. I'm always curious what everyone's reading, and I'm especially curious what you're reading. What are you looking at now? Or is on your nightstand?
I'm in that moment in life where most of the things I'm reading are related to my work in some way. But one of those books I'm very excited about and about to sort of reread again for the fifth or sixth time, which is the book we just published at Rescue Press, where I work a bit, called Spain by Karen Balin. And it's also a book that's really about art making, about a kind of a young woman writer being in a writing residency in Spain, and the sort of men continually explaining things to her, but also about, about the processes of writing and art and maybe being a bit of a like anti-travel writing version of travel writing. So I'm a big evangelist of that book at the moment, as a book that's like full of kind of desire and art making and a lot of kind of loose rage. So yeah, I'm not sure, what else. I just reread to teach Renee Gladman's Calamities, and I would also really recommend that. And I think those two books kind of go together a bit.
Hillary, thanks so much for talking with me today. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.